Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah, also known as Jesus, since the advent of the authorized King James Version of the Bible. The reason I do that opening every day, the special greetings, is because Paul proclaimed once, he said, I sit in heavenly places in Yahshua, or in Christ Jesus, as we have it recorded there in the authorized King James Version. He said that he was sitting in heavenly places. And the name of this program is Cross the Border. My website, of course, is crosstheborder.org. And crossing a border leads us to think about crossing the border from, say, one country into another country. And I bid everyone to cross the border into a heavenly country. Yes, that same heavenly country where Paul says that he is seated and where we can be seated with him. We've been going through the Acts of the Apostles, and we got to chapter 15 and verse 18, where I love this phrase, this one scripture sentence here. It says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Our Heavenly Father created all things. And, you know, I have written things and created things and made things and then go back and I have to study them to figure out how to fix them or how did I put this together so that I can redo it or whatever. But, you know, our Heavenly Father, he's not as limited as we are, of course, because he doesn't forget anything. So the scripture says here that known, and of course I believe this is Peter speaking to a crowd of people. This is James. That's right, James stands up and he says, hearken unto me. So we have James speaking. And they're in Jerusalem, and there's a dispute amongst the believers of the other nations. So they travel back to Jerusalem, to the apostles there, to find out, well, how do we do this? What are the Gentiles required? Are they required to do everything that the Israelites were required to do to keep the law? And James says, known to God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now, our Heavenly Father, he didn't need to do an impact study, environmental impact study, a health impact study, on the things that he would require of those believers coming in from the other nations called the Gentiles, meaning nations other than Israel. But he speaks by the Holy Spirit and he says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. We don't want to trouble them. We don't want to trouble them with a burden. He continues, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Listen to this. This is the instruction for the Gentiles coming. And of course, one of the main questions was circumcision. Should they keep the circumcision? There's no debate today about it. At least not widely held. There might be in some small circle somewhere where they're debating whether you should be circumcised or not. But he says this, that we trouble them not. And I believe that's regarding circumcision specifically. But he continues, we write them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. Now, what does that mean? Pollutions of idols. Okay. Well, you know, you could drink clear, fresh water. But the moment I put a little arsenic in it, well, it's a little pollution. Pollutions of poison. And it could damage you or kill you. Just a little bit of pollution there. We're supposed to drink the pure water of life. We are not to allow the pollutions of idols to come into our congregations, not to come into our assemblies, not to be part of our lives, the pollutions of idols. Of course, then you have the great universal church or cult that rose up, immediately, but didn't become recognizable in the form we have it today, full of pollutions of idols. And then you have all the protesting daughters who protested some of the doctrine, who embraced some of the pollutions of idols, or after rejecting all those things outright, eventually and gradually brought some of those pollutions back into their congregations. And what are the pollutions of idols that I'm talking about? Well, the pollutions of idols are things like, idol worship, making statues to people, and sanctifying certain people after they're dead and praying to them, raising up idols. Pollutions of idols would be things like romance, following the idolatry of romance for gender relationships rather than following God's law and the principles laid out in the scripture. So you have the idolatry of romance rather than obedience to parents. Because that's really, those things are diametrically opposed to each other. Because here's how romance works. Well, you go to the public school system, and you learn all about romance from your peers. You watch it on the TV, and all the movies have an element of romance, because, of course, that's the highest thing in pagan society is romance, the love between a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or whatever, a man and somebody else's wife. It's also romantic. But see, this is what you learn, that romance is the highest thing, the idolatry of romance. Whereas what we learn from the scripture is that obedience to parents. The parents decided who their children were to marry. The parents could approve a marriage, or the parents could arrange a marriage, but obedience to parents was one of those 10 commandments to honor your father and mother. Now, however, if you don't like that, if you don't want to honor your father and mother, you don't want to obey your parents, when they say, thou shalt not marry, Jim Bob, because we think he's a filthy heathen. Well, the young girl can say, I will go to another God, since the God of the Bible doesn't give me license to go around obedience to my parents by the commandment. I will go to another God, God the state, and the state will give me license to practice my romance. And we see how well that works in our society, and then the world brings the accusation against the church, and I'm using quotation marks there, because they say, 50% of the marriages in the church now end in divorce too. Well, that's because they're practicing the romance, the idolatry of romance, and following the lead of the world. They're allowing the pollutions of idols to come into their congregations. They're sending their children to the public school systems where the peers, their peer group. So peer grouping is an abomination too. Our Heavenly Father did not allow people to divide themselves up by age, because you can't honor the old when you separate them out and put them into old folks' homes, or eventually, as it's turning in our society, we're just going to kill them all off with euthanasia. So that's, there's one way we allow the pollutions of idols. How about inheritance, still staying within the family, the Heavenly Father's kingdom law for family government, inheritance. Well, what do? They buy things rather than in the family name, in trust, in the family name, to be held in that family name, where the godly father who is following hard after the Heavenly Father and wants his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren to appear in eternity in the resurrection by the blood of the Messiah. How many parents really care about that? Well, not very many, because they are not practicing God's law or teaching it, and they're sending their children off to be schooled by pagans in idolatry. How can they say that they care? They don't care. They pretend to care. Oh, they go to church every Sunday, but they neglect the most important things. They should give up church on Sunday and stay home and teach their children and their grandchildren. Go to church every Sunday and sing songs that makes them feel holy and good and everything, while their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren are going to be burning in a lake of fire forever. The pollutions of idols. The Heavenly Father gave parents a mandate to teach their children. And yes, so many delegate that authority to the pagan system of government that is all around us, that has taken over the society. I think public schools are an abomination anyway, have been from the beginning. One design behind them. There should be a separation of school and state. All schools should be private and taken back to the local level. The taxes perhaps should be collected. Well, they're already collecting property taxes from all the, but half of the money goes to the federal government. And then they trickle some back so they can control it. So there we see several instances of abomination in family government. Parents turning their children over to idolatry, pagan teachers to school them rather than obeying the commandment of God to raise up their children in the way they should go. And then we have the idolatry of the way that property is held. Well, there's nothing wrong with holding property. If someone holds a piece of property as their own, that's one thing. But to practice the pagan inheritance system where everything is turned over to the courts when you die, rather than structuring a trust for your family where the law of God is the center of the trust and the father names the one who's going to carry on the godly tradition as the fathers, as the patriarchs did in the Bible. When they named an inheritor, they were naming someone to take their place, to carry on that godly heritage, to raise up a godly seed, and to have the resources to do that, and the resources to obey the commandments of taking care of the orphans and the widows, because in God's family government, that's where it began. The orphans and widows, the commandment to take care of the orphans and widows, started with the family. The law of God made provision in every family, in every clan, to take care of the orphans and the widows in that family. And then we have them bringing the pollutions of idols into the congregation in the form of Ashtaroth. We talked a little bit about this yesterday when the word Easter appeared in the scripture. And we discussed how that was proper interpretation. The King James translators did right in that instance because it was the days of unleavened bread and you don't have Passover. Passover is before the days of unleavened bread. So they rightly divided the word and translated the word correctly into Easter there because it was the pagan Herod, was it Herod or whatever, the Roman leader, the Roman governor, who was keeping the Easter holiday. And he didn't want to be bothered with Peter and taking care of this little problem on the holiday. He wanted to enjoy his holiday, so he put him in the prison and put four soldiers, two chained to him in the prison, two outside the door to make sure that Peter didn't escape while he enjoyed Easter, his Ashtaroth celebration, the celebration of the fertility goddess, you know, the eggs and the bunnies and the sunrise service. Yes, Easter, Ashtaroth. Now the pollutions of idols brought into the church. How many of you good Christian church going to the corporate edifice on the corner churchgoers celebrated Easter and got little Easter baskets for your children? Oh, you don't want to deprive the poor children. You have to bribe them into pagan idolatry, into the pollutions of idols, just as you were bribed when you were a child. I remember I was a child. How many times, how many Easters, how many Ashtaroths did they bribe me with candy and chocolate bunny. Oh, I love chocolate bunnies. I mean, what child doesn't love chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs and jelly beans? Yes. And we don't want to deprive our children of, oh, you know, of that wonderful thing that, you know, and all that stuff. So we use that as an excuse to continue. And then we don't want to stop doing it, because what will people think if we stop practicing idolatry? I mean, it's so accepted in the society. We should stop practicing. What's wrong with us? You're going to deprive your children of Easter? You're going to deprive your children of baskets of candy? Why, they might even call CPS on you and take your children away from you for depriving them, not allowing them to enjoy the pleasures of childhood. Idolatry. And everything I just said about Ashtaroth Sunday, it applies to the Halloween-y holiday. It applies to the Christ's death celebration that they have every December. Of course, that comes from the RCC, the Roman Catholic cult, because they brought all that Babylonian garbage, pollutions of idols in, and then all a lot of the Protestant daughters threw off a lot of that stuff in the beginning. They just rejected outright everything and said, let's read the Bible. And then you had the Puritans and some other denomination of sects that rose up that tried to maintain that purity. But you see, it's all gone now, practically. All the denominations, they no longer call themselves Protestants. Now they're evangelicals, ecumenicals. And they've just totally embraced all of the pollutions of idols. And it's the one thing. And that's just the beginning. I mean, you just go on from there. But it's enough for the purpose of my sermon here. Acts 15, verse 20. But we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. Why? Because known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Where my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. Of course, fornication includes every form of sexual immorality. That's what's included in the word fornication. Adultery, pornography, whatever. Plain old what they call fornication today. Any kind of homosexuality, lesbianism, fetishism. I mean, you and your wife, lawfully married according to the law of God, you can do anything you want. Okay? But everything outside of that is included in fornication. So here we have two things. They're to abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. But we're not done yet. And from things strangled. Now we're getting into the dietary law. You know, I never heard about this. You know, I listened to the 501c preachers on the radio for, 10, 15 years before I veered off and started reading the Bible for myself and going, wow, this ain't right. What they were telling me wasn't right. Daniel 70th week has passed. I find the dietary law in the New Testament. Things strangled from blood. We're not to eat blood. Doesn't that refer me back? Just as fornication refers me to every kind of sexual sin outside of that which is affirmed and allowed by our Heavenly Father. Everything that is not allowed by Him is excluded by Him and included in fornication. So now we have to, from things strangled and from blood, referring me back to the dietary law, which means that, hey, they had the Word of God, and it wasn't the New Testament when they received this letter. So they had to go back, and they had to go, well, how does this work? What do we do? And they looked up the law of Moses, and they read the dietary law, and they said, oh, okay, well, here's a guideline for us. So the reference to things strangled and from blood is a reference to only one thing, and that is the dietary law. And here it is in Acts, instruction for the Gentiles, and we're not going to trouble them. So see, this is not to be trouble for us, and it should not trouble us that we have to give up things that the dietary law says that we shouldn't eat. It's no trouble. And I'm a witness. Been living like that many, many years. No trouble at all. You know what? Because, you know, I have a short list of things I'm not supposed to eat. And you know what that means? That there are a million and one things that I can eat. Where's the trouble? No trouble at all. And I'll tell you, you know what? I'm getting up in my years and, you know, I'm to where I see a lot of people out there in the world who don't care about God's word, never troubled with it. And I see them being rushed off to the hospital, falling dead, you know, getting sewed up, having massive operation, losing their joints. And, you know, I mean, I have a few injuries that I sustained in my work in construction. I worked construction many years, but I'm not having the trouble. I fear to go to the witch doctors of the allopathic medicine fame, and their pharmacia is frightening. I listen to their commercials, and it's very scary when they say very fast all the bad things that are going to happen to you. Well, you're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.